Good evening. We have this wonderful retreat space right next to the water. This is the, I think, fifth retreat this year for me that has been right on the water. What a luxury, huh? Of course, it encourages me to indulge in my favorite talk subject. Some of you know what's coming. and that would be sea kayaking. And sure enough, I'm going to stay true to my instincts and talk about that tonight. One particular trip that happened this summer. And it was a faraway journey, so up to Canada, to Campobello, the general vicinity of Diane's summer home. And I went with some other kayakers, and it's you know, a long trip. It's like 6 hours to drive up there, and we were camping, and then there's the day of the trip. And so we were going there this particular day to see whales. Campobello is known for its whales, but you never really know where they're going to turn up, right? It's hard to say. It's a big space, a lot of islands and bays and what have you. Who knows what a whale's thinking? So, you know, we heard from people, we talked to people who had seen whales, and, you know, they said where they had gone and when, and so we took that as some information for the journey. But basically, we kind of just had to go and see for ourselves. So we set out into the Bay of Fundy, and this is a dangerous stretch of water, right? Some of the biggest tides in the world, and that means some really strong currents, icy cold water. It was not to be taken lightly, but there was this thing that we really wanted to do. And so we set out across from Campobello out to the next island, crossing the currents, and then to the next one after that, until we got to the space that we thought was the right one. And I mean, it was just a lot of water, right? No sign of whales. We'd come all that way and worked very hard. And now there was just the sitting and waiting. So some of us thought that there was a thing that we could do to maybe make the whales show up, a sort of secret practice. So maybe hurrying back and forth across this space frantically, trying to be at the right place at the right time, that might do it. Or maybe, you know, wearing the lucky orange hat. Or who knows, we all have our ideas. But mostly what it required was to sit there and wait with some degree of faith that what others had told us was true, and that somewhere deep under the surface there were these great creatures, this enormous force that would come bursting through, and that would mean something to us. We didn't know what. We waited and floated about, and suddenly, like 30 feet away from me, this thing the size of a Greyhound bus came to the surface with its great fishy exhalation of breath, and then just as quickly disappeared. For some people who hadn't been faced quite the right way, there was just a glimpse. Turn as quick as you can, but already gone. I was lucky. And I can't say that that this is actually analogous to my Zendo experience, the Greyhound bus. It just hasn't been like that for me. Maybe a faraway glimpse way out there in the ocean somewhere. But more likely, something more like 2 weeks later, when I'm home and at the dinner table with my husband, and he does that irritating thing that he does that never fails to elicit a ragged response from me. And suddenly, there's a little whale at the dinner table with us. And I find myself feeling nothing but endearing love for everyone at the table there with me. Quite unexpectedly. Who knew? The whales of mercy. But back to the actual trip. So many whales came. We were very fortunate. Our faith paid off that time. And eventually it was time to leave. And so we headed back across the currents and past the islands and reached this long bay that we had to go down almost to the end of. It was kind of in a J shape or L like that. You had to go around a corner. And so we started down the long part of the bay. And as we were paddling, I noticed these white speckles on the surface of the water floating. And as we paddle along, there were more and more of them, flower petals, and white and sort of glistening in the sun because they were wet. Right, and floating past us, going out with the current as we went in. And the further we got down this leg of the bay, the more there were. Very beautiful. It was really a wonderful thing to be surrounded by flower petals. And I couldn't wait to get around the corner and see, was this like a grove of trees, or was it from some shrub, or you know what? Where were they coming from? I couldn't identify them. And as we got very close to that jogging around point, there were so many that they blanketed the entire surface of the water. And as the kayak went through, they would part and go around the kayak and then meet again behind. And they had this sort of a shimmering iridescence to them. It was otherworldly. It was like the fairies had come. And we came around the corner of the bay, and we could see all the way to the end of the bay. And there at the end was a fish processing plant. And we suddenly realized that these tiny iridescent discs that surrounded us, that we'd been so delighted by, were actually fish scales. That a trawler had just come in and they were processing the fish. And so there was this moment of going from this sense of exquisite joy to, oh, just like the gross nastiness of it. And because it was so extreme, I was so struck by it that this same experience could be two very different ways perceived. What did this mean? How could this be? What did it say? And I was thinking how this experience of first great beauty and then really nastiness, both of them were stained, right? One was with the pure, beautiful stain, and the other one with the gross, unpleasant stain. But both created by my own thinking, the way that I processed the experience. The thing itself, utterly unstained, just as it was. if indeed everything is unstained, if the entire universe is the Dharma body of the self, nothing left out, then there is nothing that can arise out of that that is stained. Where would the stain come from? There is no such. And yet my experience of this was of stain. I myself was part of this, also unstained. And the thoughts that I had about it, arisings, also unstained. Nothing out of place. Everything just as it should be. Only this human way of thinking, to turn it into something else. How can we meet our lives to recognize that even the things that seem terrible, that seem unacceptable, are this unstained arising that is the Dharma body of the self? It's a great task for us. And we approach it, perhaps we can approach it with that same faith of approaching the space where the whales were. We can't see them, we don't know for sure, but we've heard about this. Maybe something will arise, appear to us, and show us a little bit more of the truth of our lives. Paying attention, being still long enough to see the way things really are, not just how we think about them. And maybe we too will be graced by the whales of mercy.